call to order the meeting of the Health, Education, Welfare, and the Land, Natural Resources, and Cultural. It is 5:30. I want to ask Mr. Proctor if he will give the invocation, please.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, and as we come together tonight, I pray you be with us as we do our nation's business. And I pray for blessings on this nation, Lord, and as we do our nation's business tonight, for leading, guiding, and direct us, and as we leave from here, and give us strength and grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Hello. Roll call, please. Shirley Nade?
Here.
Dodie Barnett?
Present.
Johnny Green?
Present.
James Jennings?
Here.
Lucia Tiger?
Present.
Joyce Steer?
Present.
Mitch Jack?
Here.
David Nichols? Mark Randolph?
Present.
Daryl Proctor?
Here.
Madam Chair, you got 9 present and 1 absent. 9 present and 1 absent. Constitutes a quorum. All business conducted will be official. We have no minutes for approval. Go down to the order of business. First is TR-15-056, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a standard form of agreement between owner and architect for the design and construction of a new clinic in Eufaula, Oklahoma. Sponsors, Mr. Proctor. Motion by Mr. Proctor for a due pass. Second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion?
Yes,
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. It's a very exciting day for us. We've been waiting for this for a long time, and we've been going through this process, and we have selected one architect to be the architect on this joint venture with the Muscogee Creek Nation and the Indian Health Service. I just kind of want to go through the process that we went through to get to this point, or to this selection. This bid was open for 30 days, and we received a total of 7 bids from one architect, Childress Architect, Selcher Safer, Boynton William, Larry Edmondson, Health Facilities, and Reeves. Then the group went together, and we had a form that we rated, and we went through all their proposals. And then after the proposals, those were tallied, and the top 3 were one architect, Childress Architect, and Selcher Safer. And then those 3 groups were immediately called in for an interview, and we interviewed all 3 of them. And we had individuals from the health system and I believe housing, tarot were there to be a part of this group. And then we interviewed, went through that process, and everyone separately voted, and the tally came out to one architect.
Any questions? Dodie.
How many hospitals has one architect designed?
Well, they're in the process of with our hospital in Okemah right now.
So they weren't based on the fact that they designed other hospitals?
Yes, that criteria. I mean, this is a clinic, the hospital.
Or the clinic, okay.
Yes.
So they've done similar work?
They've done similar work with these type of facilities.
Thank you.
I know Childress did Coeta.
Yes. They're one of the hang-ups we had with Childress, and I think was our facility and every facility that they have built look the same. And we did have an issue in regards to our facility that we built in Coeta.
Mm-hmm.
Is the exact same clinic that's in Absentee Shawnee. And we kind of took offense to that because we thought that was our design. And the only difference is the Chobaji at Coeta, mm-hmm. we had to walk around, they just built the hall. And so that's the difference. Childress does have quite a bit experience. It's been difficult with them of late of getting jobs because there's been some good architect groups that have come out. And we looked at based on communication and working with these guys.
Okay. Childers also built the one in Idabel.
They built the one in Idabel. They built the one in McAllister. I worked with them on the Idabel and McAllister when I was at Choctaw Nation. Mm-hmm. They built two at Chickasaw Nation, and they built the Coweta facility, the absentee facility, and there's two other facilities that they had built.
Just one more question. Mm-hmm. Was one architecture the lowest bid?
Yes. And I think, and our culture being respected to, very responsive to us, we have worked with Childress also on the dental clinic in Okemo. And OneArc's been very responsive to us when we meet them. They've been good to work with. And so, and it's like when I told them with Okemo, is, you know, that this is a marriage. It's up to you whether or not we stay married or not. And it's gone really well, and been very impressed with their design and how they pull in the construction and us, and they really take control. And so it was not theirs when we went into it. We, majority of us, were already set on Childress, to be honest with you. Just because this is a joint venture, you have IHS guidelines that you have to follow. So going into it, I know going into it that I was pre-selected Childress, but as the presentation, and not much has changed with those guys. And so. In the first project, OneArc was also with the Smith Group, where so they were piggybacked with another architect group, due to the large size of the facility.
Mr. Allred, or Destiny, would you guys like to comment on OneArc and your working relationship with them?
Well, you know, just the experience that I've had dealing with them, and you know, the selection committee, I believe there was about 12 people who were on that. You know, and like what Seneca, he was kind of in favor of Childress, but the committee, when the votes were all tallied, and after the presentation, it became very clear that everybody liked the way One Architecture presented. And something that they added to it, as you'd mentioned, that Childress, you know, they had done several other clinics, and you know, you can go by, when you drive by that building, you can see that it's probably designed by Childress, because it looks like the same style that he uses. And one thing I think that everybody liked about One Architecture is that he implored, you know, our cultural aspects into the design of this building, you know, with the Ramberg concepts. And when people drive by this building, they're not going to say that was a One Architecture building. They're going to say that's a Creek Hospital. And we like that about the Okemo project. And I think the biggest part of his selection is that he brought that to the table with the Eufaula Clinic, is that, you know, this is going to, when people look at the Eufaula Clinic, we want them to say, you know, that's a Creek project. And I think that was one of the deciding factors that helped him to get chosen.
And probably going into this, James and I visited about OneArc and kind of helped each other out of kind of what we thought and how they have performed on this job. We would kind of rather have seen the project finished, you know, before we went with them again, but we think that this is the right group to go with.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Thank you, Sandra. Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade?
Yes.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Darrell Proctor?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 8 in favor and 0 against. 8.
We have 8. Yes, and 0 no's. TR 15056, motion passes. Next is NCA 15-082, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to the Holdenville Creek Indian Community. A sponsor is Speaker Yohola.
Madam Chair, make a motion for due pass.
Motion by Ms. A for due pass, second by Mr. Jennings. Discussion? Speaker?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to have Chairman, Mr. Jim Boy, he is the chairman of that committee, and he has some of his board members in the with him. So I'll just turn the floor over to him, and he can tell you about his project. And then probably has comments, you know, from the construction office.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Y'all have returned this over to me. So it's a two-year process. We've been trying to enlarge our bathroom, and we use it for different functions. We use it for our annual volunteer dinner, every forum that come along, we try to have it there. Holdenville, anything that Creek Nation needed, we try to have. But the only thing we was embarrassed about was our restrooms. Our restrooms are not handicap accessible. They're hard for our people in a wheelchair to get in and out. There's really no privacy on the inside of that curtain, you know. And so, to us, we need to get revised. So what we did in the process is called Mr. Coleman and started through CRD, went to Mr. Coleman. And Mr. Coleman's been working on our project. We're trying to figure out what we need to do. As far as we know, everything's non-existent enough. I mean, it's built back in 1920, and 2020 of it, 100-year-old building. And so all the piping and all the material was built for that decade. But now we need to upgrade it to be up to code. So that's going to rest room. In our smoke shop area, we need to extend that and make it bigger. All we need to do that for storage, have more room for our workers to get around here. That's part of that expansion. But to elaborate more on the construction part, Mr. Coleman has been working on that part of the deal.
Thank you, David. As David was saying, Justin and I went down, I think, in October and looked at the restrooms. And he's right, the restrooms have a lot of ADA requirement, things that they don't meet code. And David told me at that time that the appearance meant a lot to them because of the events that they do have. And I don't know if everyone's been there, but the bathrooms, you know, they do need to be updated. What we did is we requested proposals advertised through the paper, through the Holdenville paper, the Tulsa World, the Oklahoma paper. I think in November was when the first pre-bid meeting was set, and we didn't have any responses to that. We went back in December, January 1, I think January, we advertised again, and we did get two contractors that turned in proposals. One is a local contractor that has done a lot of work there at the community center. It's Gibbs Plumbing and Remodeling. The other was Creekside Management out of Tulsa, and Gibbs Plumbing was the low bidder, the $68,219. And then what we've done with that is we've added a 10% contingency to come up to the $75,000 that you see.
Questions? You hold.
Is going to give any comments on the smoke shop?
Oh, the smoke shop. The smoke shop, while we were in the process of the restrooms, we started talking to David about adding on to the smoke shop. We're adding 30 feet by 16 feet, which is what the current width of the smoke shop is. Like he said, it's a storage area. We're going to upgrade some electrical, add some exit doors. While we were in this process, the mold assessment came out, and Joetta asked me, earlier if we thought that the money that we're asking for to add on to the smoke shop will suffice for what needs to be done to get rid of the mold. And my answer to that is yes. And part of the renovation to the smoke shop is, of course, the roof will have to be tied together. That means we're going to put new decking on the existing smoke shop. We're going to have new shingles on the smoke shop. So I think that will eliminate what's causing the majority of the mold problem, which is roof leaks. So, you know, I think that the mold issue needs to be taken care of regardless of whether we do the smoke shop addition. But I think there is money in the addition part to take care of that.
Any questions? Mr. Proctor?
I know we have a bill that's on our committee coming up tonight dealing with helping with these facilities, coming up with new, I guess, positions to help, you know, all of the nation's facilities to fix all this stuff like this. Have we looked into anything like that? James, do we have people that could do this work, or are we kind of shorthanded on, you know, doing something like that?
Well, yeah, we do have people that can do this work, but we are shorthanded. You know, since the implementation of our apprenticeship program, you know, the projects have been stacking up. Right now, there's about 9 projects waiting in line, I don't think it would be something that we'd be able to do in a timely manner. We'd have to subcontract it out in order to get it done in the time frame that we need it done in. Now, what you're referring to is probably would affect that bill. I think it's GSA's bill. And that, you know, is probably from the previous legislation that was passed, according to the communities, the responsibility, I guess, put that on GSA, it was put on GSA, so... Mm-hmm. I don't know if the funds that he's asking for have enough of this included in it. If all the 26 communities, ask for something like that, but he does have people that could do that, and I think that's what his intentions are, is to hire more people to be able to do that. But I can't speak for him.
Right. Yeah. And I know that's something that we need to discuss with them also. I hate for it to say, yeah, we can do it, but then be a year before we get to it.
Sure.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Tiger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Proctor.
Yes.
I talked to Mr. Dellinger and Ms. Topaw about the same thing earlier. Would you mind discussing with the committee here what we discussed earlier?
I think a lot more of what facilities will be doing is more general maintenance type. Work. I don't know if they're going to be doing major construction, and I think the law even states that when it's construction, the communities have a project that affects their safety and well-being, that they are to come to the council and ask for seek an appropriation for those larger projects. So I think that's why this project is coming to you all at this point in time, and the work that will be coming through facilities are more general type of small projects that and general maintenance that will be done at the communities.
Thank you.
Mr. Barnett.
Is it not a law that when a community requests a special appropriation that they are to submit their financials with that? I could have sworn we passed that a couple of years ago where if a community asks for...
It's a national council resolution, so it's technically not a law, but it's a resolution that...
Yeah, we require financials be submitted.
Yeah, it came to the chief's office, so I'm sure that they didn't ask for that.
I was just curious because, I mean, that was what we had asked for a couple of years ago, was when any community, and not just, I mean, this isn't about you guys, this is just about any community, when they come and ask us for help, we take a look at their financials and see if they're, I mean, obviously we want to help. The building is our property. Of course, we want to maintain that, improve it. The bathrooms are horrid. I know that. We all know that. But I mean, for the business side, I think it would give us a better perspective to see what the financials of the community were and what your abilities were with our help or without our help, and how that would affect what you guys are doing there. But I could, yeah, I mean, that we did a resolution a couple of years ago. Any community that has the money, we look at their financials. So, just throwing that out there.
I can tell you what their financials are. They don't have any money.
Isn't that just for, like, if they wanted to supplement their budget, though? I was,
any special appropriation.
Any special appropriation? Mm-hmm. Okay. I was just curious.
I mean, at the time, the special appropriations being asked for were to supplement their budgets, but they were coming in the form of special appropriations.
One thing I realize is that these buildings, every time we call for help and assistance, they always used to tell us, well, we'll come down and look at it. Mm-hmm. We fixed a hot water tank, $600. We had to go through hoops and whatever, and they told us, well, we can't do nothing. Took 2 weeks, so we took it on ourselves to do that. Little small items we can handle, you know, we can do all that stuff. But this is a major project. So I'm just going by the principle that the new Title 11 says that, you know, this is a Creek Nation project. You know, this belongs to us. We're just stewardships, you know, we're trustees.
And I totally agree with you. The property is ours. It is our obligation to maintain it, fix it up, repair it, whatever that need may be. I just want to be consistent because last session we did have some communities that we held off for 2 or 3 months while they got their financials in order, and in order to be consistent and fair to every community, I feel like we need to hold those same principles here. That's just my feeling.
I think probably that this passes a committee. I think probably the community can forward those financial statements to this office here, and then we can decide on the floor if that would suffice or not for that requirement. Did that, Mr. Jim Boyne, to forward the financials up here to the council?
Yeah, we can do all that. We can, our financial statements, yes. And everything else. It's just like applying for a grant, you know. We can bring all that up.
Okay.
That took no time at all. That's what, okay. You know, that would mean.
Okay.
Floyd Jones wasn't able to come from Community Research, but I think they did provide all their financials to Community Research and Development at the end of last month, when they applied for the community CDBG, Community Development Block Grant, with the nation, so that department may have those that they can just forward to council as well on their behalf. Because you guys did apply for it, didn't you, the CDBG?
Yeah, we brought it there.
So, and with that grant, they have to give all their financials from the previous year where they stand now.
James. Thank you. I'd just like to make a comment that the Holdenville community has also been having an issue with the casino, who was paying what bills, and the community were actually taking care of a lot of things, and I think you guys have worked that out. So.
Well, I don't know if this is the time and place for that, but I'm going to go ahead and spill my gut. The property is sitting on in trust. The whole block belonged to the, was in trust to Holdenville. And then last year, a couple of representatives come down, take pictures, try to find the boundary. We couldn't find, you know, I haven't got no word on that. But they did move all that equipment, dumpsters and everything to that side. Good. Okay, for economical developments, we can't do anything. You know, we can't move our smoke shop or anything because parking lot and the casino. Okay. Put my foot in my mouth. We're getting money from nutrition that runs out of the Creek Nation. We get a rent of $600 a month. It's in Title 11 what we have to do, and they have to pay. The only thing I want to say is that how come our casino that's on the block can't pay us the rent That way we wouldn't have to come and ask for money, but we would already have it, you know. I mean, we're not asking for 20% or anything like that, you know, whatever, just fair. But we are asking that they have took away probably about half of our lots just because of casino. I understand the agreement was 50-50 split when it first started. But, you know, time going on, you know, everything happened. But now we can't do nothing. You know, we're at standstill. And I know Creek Nation Gaming ain't going to move the building. But how come we can't get nothing from the gaming? So we won't have to come up here and ask for money. You know what I'm saying? But that's, you know, one of the things. I know I probably said too much, but you know, that's one of the things that we're looking at, too.
That's the thing. I know, you know, our communities are struggling, and they have been struggling, especially these last 4 years, but I would like to commend our Holdenville community. They don't come and ask for money. They manage what they have, and they're still able to help our citizens. So yeah, I'd like to see them get this money and make all the improvements that they can. It will be, the citizens will appreciate it, and I think Holdenville does a good job in managing what they have without coming to the council for exorbitant amounts of money. I think they've only been here one time in 4 years, so I think that speaks well of the community and of the Holdenville board. Thank you.
More questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. If there are no more questions, the roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade?
Yes.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
Joyce Steer?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Daryl Proctor?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Moon Chair got 8 in favor and 0 against.
NCA 15082 passes. Be sent to BF&J for a funding source. Thank you. Other business? No other business announcements? The Hugh Committee will meet Thursday at 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
6 with BF&J.
Mm-hmm. And I think the LNC and BF&J are meeting immediately following that.
Right. Yeah. No more announcements? Motion for adjournment?
So
motion by Mr. Jennings, second by Ms. Aide. We're adjourned. I'm going to ask Ms. Aide if she will get it.
Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you've joined us. Father, we just ask that you would return here to traveling mercies. Bless you.